Hey, security peeps, we are live with another edition of Breaking Into Cybersecurity. I am Renee Small, cybersecurity super recruiter and super unicorn for today. Happy Halloween. And I am demystifying cybersecurity careers for the month of October. And the person to kick off the end of Cybersecurity Awareness Month, or in the big bang at the end of Cybersecurity Awareness Month, is Dominique West. Say hi to everybody, Dominique.
Hello. Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm a dinosaur for today, so just, you know.
We're festive. We're extra festive.
Have a tail.
I already feel like the fun is going to pop today. So Dominique is amazing. Just won an award for the Women's Society of Cyberjutsu. Congratulations on that. She started a chapter, the Atlanta chapter. How long ago? A year ago?
Yeah, almost a year now.
Almost a year ago.
Off in January. We had gotten together before to start the chapter, but we officially had a kickoff January. So almost a year.
Almost a year ago, kicked that off, has an extensive background in the cybersecurity space, podcast host of Security in Color. I mean, she's doing so many amazing, amazing things. So Dominique, we are going to kick it off. There's some folks before we get started. People come in, they say hello. So I shout them out. Hey, happy Halloween, everybody. I want everyone to tell me what they're going to be for Halloween, or what are you for Halloween?
Yeah. Are people dressing up this year? Like, I've seen some people dress up, and I've seen some people who are just not.
I know.
You know, they don't have it, which is fine. Cause like I barely had the energy. Like I said, I had a onesie already and that was it.
Lindsay, I'm done. If I had a unicorn, I literally, this is the first time I've dressed up in forever. I'm usually super focused on my kids.
Okay, I'm getting them dressed up.
So getting them and their costumes and everything else and going to the parade. But since they didn't have a parade this year with coronavirus, I'm like, I need to get in the spirit and get dressed up too. And because we're doing this podcast, I'm like, I definitely got to get dressed up for this. So, hey, Reginald. Hey Danielle, spectacular. Thank you.
Who's that?
Somebody says, hey Cyber Rising Star. I have a feeling this might be Katia. Is that Katia? Did she win an award last night too?
Yeah, she was nominated for one.
Oh,
don't worry. Katia's out here, okay?
I know. She's doing it.
Award. Yeah, exactly.
She is doing it. Okay, folks. So Dominique, kick it off. Tell us. What made you, I want to start with the podcast. What made you want to do a podcast? What made you want to do Security in Color? Like, talk to us about it. What is it about? Oh, it's Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
My captain leader of the year. Hey, girl.
So tell us, my friends, about being
a big screen
podcast host. Go for it.
So I had started a blog. I started the blog Security in Color last summer, and I was just kind of writing articles about things that are happening in the news, some different topics that I thought people who are trying to pivot or get into cybersecurity would be interested in. And that got some traction. But then I had gotten a little bit lazy and I was like, I still want to do this information. I still want to disseminate this information. I still want to talk about these topics. And then naturally the kind of like the podcast format came about, especially because I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I was like, you know, I saw some different cybersecurity podcasts, but not enough that I think were in the realm of what I was trying to do. Nor with people who kind of reflected and looked like me. So I was like, you know, why not kind of jump into the podcast space, see what it's like. And then, you know, if anything, my mama and my friends will listen to it, if no one else will, right? So I kind of just took what I was already doing and just made it into an audio format. And then now we are 10 months in and I have over 11,000 downloads of all of my episodes, what I thought was insane to me, and like how many countries it's in. I'm just like, how did you even find it all the way in Japan or where, you know, wherever else? But it's been a great experience. I love doing it each week. I love talking and engaging. You're really kind of talking to yourself, but I love when people engage back with me and say, hey, I learned something new, or hey, I didn't know about this. So that's why I really, really enjoy the podcast.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So folks, if you have not heard of it before, Security and Color, and once a week, right?
Yeah.
I probably should have made this the end, but I want to hear about it. Like, plug yourself. What else do you want? So let's now pivot into how you got into the industry. I mean, this is, like I had shared, we talk about, breaking into cyber, and the whole month has been demystifying cybersecurity, because specifically for Cyber Awareness Month, we are trying to talk to the folks that are not in the industry, who know nothing about the industry. So we tried to keep it it's never super technical here anyway. Mm-hmm. We tried to keep it non-technical. We tried to just demystify the whole thing, because what we have heard and what I've heard, especially talking to high school kids and, getting out into the community, and when you talk to people, they just think it's one big mystery. So how did you find out about cyber? What made you want to go get a master's in it? Like, what made you want to be interested in cybersecurity?
So the way I found out about the security industry was because my mother and I back when had gotten 2 fraudulent charges on our credit cards, right? So we had been victims of credit card fraud. And we both had 2 different cards, didn't go to the same places, but it was for the exact same amount. Like, someone was trying to buy $800 worth of Babies R Us, and I was hella confused. And I was trying to figure out how was it that my card and her card had the same charge, despite the fact that, it was 2 different vendors. And I wind up going down this rabbit hole where I was like, well, Mom, what stores did you go to for the past week? And I tried to correlate with stores that I may have went to, because, we lived together, but, we were going to different places. And then from there, I just went to investigating, how would someone even get our credit card numbers? How can they make a purchase like this? And that, of course, brought me down the rabbit hole of forensics and doing my own investigation. And then I learned about hacking, and I was like, okay, that was my introduction, was that I had gotten, quote unquote, some kind of hack or fraudulent activity on my account. So I wanted to make sure that was never going to happen again, and that I was knowledgeable about what I need to do securely going forward. And that kind of led me into learning about hacking and then security in general. At that time, I was already in tech. So I was a software technician for a library. Not for a library, for a museum in New York City, but I didn't know about security. And that was, to me, perfect timing, because I had no idea what I wanted to do, right? I was just in tech, and I know I wanted to do something in tech, but the only kind of industries I knew about, the only kind of roles I knew about, was if I was a developer. And I already knew off the bat, taking a programming class, that development was not for me. So when I came into security, I was like, okay, let me learn about it. And then I learned that you could either be a pen tester, or you can be an auditor, or you can be, an engineer. They did have development on it, but they had so many different roles. And then that kind of led me into kind of figuring out and picking out what I wanted to do in the industry from that point. So it was actually me who being the victim of an attack kind of led me into being like, okay, I want to make sure this doesn't happen to me. And if I didn't know, and my mom, certainly didn't know about how to be secure about it, let me find out and figure out how I can tell other people.
Right. Now, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. Now, did Mom become a security person too?
She did not, but I call her security champion, because I tell her she's, of course, the first one who I kind of practice things on. So I'm like, Mom, we need to get a password manager. How are you, when you bring your devices in, are you changing the password? I kind of give her, so now she's paranoid about everything now because of it. But, I'd rather her be paranoid and prepared than unprepared and something bad happens, the alternative to it.
Right. No, I think that's so cool. It's very, I would think that more people would get into it because of your experience. But this is the first time on this show in particular that I've heard from someone who actually got into the field because they were a victim of what happened. Yeah. I thought about that probably last week, people typically, I wonder if anyone in security, this has happened to them and it made them want to go down the rabbit hole. So here you are. Here you are. Another comment. David says, congratulations, Renee. Thank you, David. So David is, I met him in a StreamYard group. And he gave me some awesome tips about my mic and all this other stuff going on here. He's definitely a cool producer and an awesome person. And he gave me great advice. And he's been rooting for me to get through 31 live streams in 31 days.
Ooh.
I appreciate that. And I actually ended up doing 32 or 33.
Oh, you surpassed. Yes.
Yeah, I did. I ended up doing a couple extras because on one day or a couple days, I had like double, okay. I had two lives.
Okay.
Two lives in a day. So, oh my goodness. It's been so much fun. So Bilal says, I enjoy tuning in every day. Thank you, Bilal.
Nice.
Vicky, love your hair.
I love Vicky.
I love this hair too.
It's so colorful.
It feels like it's going to be, as I put it on, I put this wig on, I'm like, this feels like it's going to be so hot after a while.
I know, because sometimes they are. It looks like really heavy. And then
it's
you
not.
Like,
it's
my
not.
Own neck. It's that's really what I hate.
Yeah, it's light. It's the, I don't know, something curls, they call it, where all these, oh. These curls.
Gotcha.
So thank you, Vicky. I'm excited. So Dominique.
Yeah.
What made you start the Women in Cyberjutsu chapter in Atlanta?
So I had come across the Women's Society of Cyberjutsu also last summer. Was a lot. Last summer, I think for me, was a time where I was just trying to figure out how I can be a part of the community. Well, one, I was trying to find the community, and two, how can I be a part of the community to give back? So I came across some ladies who, I think it was at Hacker Halted, if I'm not mistaken, or right before, but anyway, here in Atlanta, we have Hacker Halted, which is this big cybersecurity conference. And I came across some ladies who were saying that they wanted to put together, get together and create this chapter. And they were introduced me to Women's Society of Cyberjutsu. I had got introduced to Mary, who's the CEO, and she's amazing. And I said, you know, in Atlanta, we definitely have a need for kind of a nationwide organization. That's not here because I've been living in Atlanta for almost 5 years now, 6 years now. And I, even though we have a big, they call Atlanta's like the next tech boom city. Again, I could not find a lot of cybersecurity professionals. Every time I would go to a meetup, and it's funny because I have some, my best friends are in tech, and they'd be like, oh, what are you? And my best friend's a developer, one's a UX designer. And then I would say cybersecurity, and it would always be like, oh, like it would just be so dejecting. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, where's my people? Like, why does nobody like cybersecurity? But I also know because the notion behind it, like you said, demystifying it, not a lot of people know about it. So last summer, I had started my own meetup group where I was just trying to find women in cybersecurity. So it was just something that I had put out there. I had gotten a lot of traction for it. We had a lot of audience for it. And they let me know that there are women here who are interested and there's a community here. We just didn't know where to go from it. So when Women's Society of Cyberjutsu came across my path, I was like, this is perfect, right? I've already located an audience. I definitely love the mission that the organization was doing. It just made sense to kind of combine the two together. So after starting with, we have Zakia and Tomiko, who's also on the board, we just decided to launch and figure out, you know, how can we drive this mission of empowering women in cybersecurity to the Atlanta area? You know, what resources could we provide for them? And we kind of, you know, we've had really, really great experiences thus far, even though we're less than a year in, and we've been able to kind of really grow the community, get people to network the way that they need to in order to succeed, give them the community that they need. So it's been an awesome experience. I love them. Shout out to them. That's
awesome. So awesome. Yeah, Mary was on here. I keep calling her Marie. Mary was on here earlier this month, talking about just, you know, the organization, all things that you all do. We are huge supporters and fans. So breaking into cybersecurity, we talk about you all the time. We talk about Mary all the time. We bring your folks on all the time. So we want to continue to share and showcase all of you doing this amazing work. And I know Vicky, I got to get Vicky on. I didn't know that you said Vicky and who else? Tamiko. I didn't know Tamiko was on a board too.
Yeah, she's on the Atlanta board. Zakiya is low key. You might not know her because she likes to be in the background, which I love her. She's bad, but she loves to be in the background. But Tamiko, yeah, she's on the board. She helped start it also.
Very cool. For all of you that don't know Tamiko, she is the cybersecurity rapper. Yeah. She's doing it in the drones, all the drones.
Yeah, security.
Drone security, that's her space. So she is amazing. And she was supposed to come on too a couple weeks ago, but there was some challenges there, so she couldn't make it.
Yeah.
I told her, I was like, I'm not going anywhere. People, you know, we'll get everybody on here. We're not going anywhere. So that's pretty cool that you started it and it's grown and thrived and there's an audience, untapped audience in Atlanta, which is pretty shocking.
That's what I said.
very, very huge.
There's so many people here, but I also think, again, this goes back to I mentor a lot of young women, and it comes back to every time I hear, and this is not necessarily a bad thing, but like you said, podcasts like this really demystifies the industry where even when I was starting in the industry, all of my mentees always say, you know, should I get into coding? Do I need to code? Do I need to do such and such? Because there's no really direct path into cybersecurity, right? So many people come to it from different industries or different roles. Whereas for a lot of other roles, like being a developer, that's pretty a straight and narrow path of like becoming a developer, but becoming a cybersecurity professional, there really is no straight and narrow for that. So of course, naturally, a lot of people will be confused about how do I create that blueprint to get in and how do I get started? So here in Atlanta, I want to be surprised, but for the most part, a lot of people are just going towards roles that they know of, that's easy for them to figure out how to get into. And that's why I think it was really hard for other cybersecurity professionals. Like if I was having trouble finding people, I know other people are. It just so happened to be that I took the first step to say, hey, let me find a community. Like there has to be one, or let me build one. And so that kind of unleashed, hey, there are other people, like there is room for cybersecurity within this tech space. And let's go ahead and figure out how we can make the path to a cybersecurity professional less convoluted than it has been.
I know. No, that's really, really cool. So Reginald says here, what am I going to do without my morning fix? So Reginald, listen, I am seriously considering, because people have been like, don't stop, keep going. I don't know if I could do it on weekends, but I'm definitely going to try to do 5 days a week. I'm going to try. So you guys keep continuing.
I can do it a lot.
I know, 5 days a week, it's a lot. But I think I can still do that. I mean, I have a ton of guests that we were supposed to bring on that, you know, like I'm trying to juggle and get them on. So tons of people still want to come on. Mm-hmm. There's tons of topics that I've been even thinking about since demystifying as a whole made me want to kind of demystify each section.
Yeah.
So going down section by section. So one of the people I look up to is Marcus Carey. And you're in his book, so we're gonna talk about that next. And what he's done with the Tribe of Hackers series, I just thought about, wow, maybe I can bring people on and kind of have this whole, you know, like how he had leaders in cyber, you know. Yeah. So Dominique, for all of you that don't know, is a part of Marcus Carey's Tribe of Hackers series. And in the series, she's in the leadership part. So we're going to talk about that next. But he has all these series. So he has Blue Team. He has, you know, first it was Tribe of Hackers, so just people in general. Then it kind of, you know, got more niche. And so as I've been doing this month of, you know, demystifying, I kind of want to demystify even more. So demystify like each little slice. So that might be coming. I mean, every time I do these partially, just so you guys know, I do it for the community. I do it for me too. So I'm like, ooh, I want to learn more about this. I want to learn more about that. Right. And then the audience is so awesome. They're so encouraging and they want to learn more and they push me and send me stuff behind the scenes like, hey, I want to find out about this. So then I go try to find an expert in this, try to find an expert in that. Mm. And so that's all coming.
The same, because that's what happened. A lot of people who listen to my podcast send me a lot of news that are happening and they're like, oh my gosh, did you see this is happening? And did you see this? And like, and it's really encouraging. That keeps you going. That lets you know that you're doing something, because, you know, we're in a field where I always tell people cybersecurity is a very thankless job sometimes because, yeah. you know, we don't get a lot of pat on the back, so a lot of the instant gratification. So knowing that we're doing something contributing to the community and that we kind of get that love and encouragement back is always really nice to receive sometimes.
Yeah, it's so cool. So Separate says, please don't stop. I listen to you every day on my way to work. Aw, I had no clue.
Oh, I see he asked a question.
Yeah, I'm going to go up there in a second. Okay. So Vicky is, Vicky
Jackson. Yep, Florida. Chapter.
We got to get the Jackson chapter people on here for sure, for sure. Jessica Tubbs was here last weekend. Hey, Jessica. She's awesome. Ravinder says, fantastic effort this month. Great job, Renee and Chris. Thank you so, so much. Mike says, this is awesome. Looking forward to following your podcast. Keep it up, ladies. Yes. So you got two podcasts to follow. Make sure you follow Dominique. Then you got mine. Okay. So question. Sephora says, because Dominique mentioned blogging, do you think that writing blogs and write-ups help with the process? Does it have any effect on the recruiter's opinion? So I will answer that in terms of from a recruiting perspective. What I can tell you is that leaders always like if you're involved in the industry and you're involved in the community, leaders look at that as being passionate. So it's definitely another selling point when a recruiter comes across your information and then we see, oh, he has a podcast. Oh, she has a blog. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, all of those little tidbits are additional pieces to the puzzle that we can share with the security leader. Like, hey, did you know she had a blog? Hey, did you know he had a, you know, did you know he had a blog? Did you know she had a podcast? And then they can get in and they can read your podcast. They can, listen to your podcast, read your blog, see that you actually are passionate about the field. You're not just 9 to 5, I'm shutting everything off at the end of the shift. You are interested. So when they talk about the passion, this is what they're talking about, this additional layer, giving back to the community and all that. So yes, it does have an effect. It adds an additional like gold star, like, hey, oh, by the way, he also has a blog, check out his stuff. So they can kind of dig in to see what's going on versus just like a piece of paper or a regular LinkedIn feed. Dominique, has that happened with you? You probably got jobs through just having the podcast and stuff, right? People want to do it. They want the podcast.
I definitely, especially with the last two positions that I had, where during the recruiting process, they're like, I see you have a blog. And I see you have a, and then now they're like, oh, you have a podcast. Like, that's really cool. And it's also, it's a talking point. But like you said, it really just shows how invested you are in the industry and community and giving back. And then the first part of the question was asking, you know, does writing blogs and write-ups help the process? And it definitely does. That was one of the main reasons why I started the blog in the first place, because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about, right? And I thought the best way to validate that I know what I'm talking about is to be able to do a write-up where someone who's not technical, maybe not fully in the industry, is able to understand without me having to break down further. And that to me meant that I was understood what I was saying, and two, that I was doing a good job in the way that I'm disseminating information, because I am a big proponent of cybersecurity is for everyone. So if you are trying to figure out like, hey, do I know what I'm talking about? Is my studying working? A great way to know that is to start blogging. And I know a lot of people are kind of scared. They're like, listen, there's a lot of content out there. There's a lot of podcasts out there, a lot of blogs out there. That's fine, right? Because not everybody is your voice. Like, everyone has a unique voice. Everyone has a unique perspective. So if you want to go out and start a blog, and even if it's just for you, because again, remember, I started mine as just a pet project for myself, and I wind up just being very helpful for other people. So if you just want to figure out, hey, you know, I've been studying this for a while. Let me see, can I write this into a blog post that would help someone else, and can they understand it? And if not, and you realize as you're writing, you're like, oh, maybe I'm getting a little bit too technical. Or if someone's asked a question, maybe you're like, okay, maybe I didn't break down this concept as easily, because it can be a really overwhelming field, right? We have so many acronyms, there's so many different roles, there's so many things to do. Figuring out a way to break it down into smaller pieces for other people who are trying to get in is one of the best way to do so. So blogging, podcasting, whatever kind of content, if you have an idea for something, by all means do it, because recruiters look at it, your peers look at it. Like, it's just an overall great way for you to kind of give back and be part of the community.
I would echo, ditto to everything you said. In addition, I just want to reiterate a couple points. So the part about the process breaking down and being able to share with someone else and have them understand, someone made a comment here about Lincoln says that he found out about you when found out about Security in Color a while ago from Hacker Valley Studio podcast.
Yeah, Chris, yeah.
Says, nice work, Dominique. And so Ron from Hacker Valley Studio, he talks about, you know, being able to absorb information and to be able to really fully understand it. He said one of the reasons why he teaches is because I want to understand it to the point where I can teach someone else.
Exactly.
Another person that was on here, I cannot remember her name, it's slipping me, told us on the podcast of this month that her boss, when he was teaching her, he said, the one thing I want you to do is she wanted to learn. I think she was an administrative assistant or she was a receptionist. She was doing something else.
Right.
And he said, I'll teach you, but you have to blog about it. And the process of blogging, right, brings it bigger, brings it into your head more. Mm-hmm. And so it's the double whammy. You're giving back to the community and it's putting into your mind. And to Dominique's point, you can put a podcast out and it could be you and your mom listening to it.
Listen.
You can write a blog and it just could be you, you know, reading it. It's for you first.
Exactly.
So do it for yourself. Do it because you love it, whatever creative way, whatever way you like to put out content. Mm-hmm. And I'll wrap with this final one for this particular piece of information or topic. I listen to Gary Vee a lot. And what he says a lot of the times is lean into your strength. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a blogger, if you write well, blog. If you take great pictures, maybe there's a way you can do screenshots and like little snippets. Right. If you are a, you know, you like podcasting, you like talking, you don't want to be on a camera, podcast. If you like being on the camera like this, like me, do lives, you know, like whatever, however, or video. But he's like, you know, lean into whatever it is that, don't try to be someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to blog because somebody else is blogging, because I can tell you, I'm in the process of writing this book with Chris and a couple of, and Gary. It's awesome because when it comes out, it's going to be amazing, right? It's my second book. And getting the time to sit down and do that has been like, I have to literally like block it all. Like, okay, Renee, you have to focus on this. But these lives, like the lives give me energy. The lives, I'm like, ooh, I got a live, you know? Like, I'm excited to do a lot. So do whatever it is that's going to excite you. That's my little.
Because it's the long game, right? Well, not necessarily. You don't have to do this for a long time if you don't feel like it. But in order, something I've noticed is that in order to have longevity, you have to actually like what you're doing. And that goes for work. That goes for anything in life. Like if you don't like it, you're not going to want to do it. And you're not going to put your best foot forward. So definitely make sure that you like what you're doing.
Totally. So Stefan says, "I'm no. You're one of a few people who pronounce my name right." Aw, well, we try. And then he says, "Thank you." Philip says, "Hello, all. Hey, Philip."
Hello.
Some folks are here all the time, which is so cool. Mm. So Dominique, this is. I mean, we're almost at 30 minutes, and I feel like we're just getting started.
Too quick, let's go.
It's so fast. It goes by so fast. But I don't, you know, it's Saturday, it's Halloween. I don't want to be taking up people's times. We'll totally have you come back for sure.
Absolutely.
Before you leave, tell us about how did you get into Tribe of Hackers? What did you talk about? How did you get into the infamous books that I'm still not in? Every time I keep dropping this every time, like Marcus sees, you know, I'm still not in these books. So, you know.
Honestly, it was a really good opportunity that came across my way. Tanya Jenka actually reached out because she's awesome in the community and had said, hey, you know, they were looking for leaders to interview for the book. She's like, don't be afraid to participate because, you know, sometimes it'd be like, I always tell myself whenever people kind of put the leader label, I always kind of shy away because I'm like, I don't feel like one necessarily. I just feel like I'm just me, like just Dominique who's contributing, so to speak. So when she had reached out about it, I said, hey, why not? You know, I answered the questions and I really enjoyed the way, like you said, that they started off with just Tribe of Hackers and then they got a little bit niche into it and really talking about what does it mean to be a leader and how do you view yourself as one? How do you uplift other people? How do you just basically a lot of the processes of what it takes to be a leader or to consider yourself a leader without with your peers. And for me, one of the biggest things that I've learned is that you cannot wait around for me, what it, so to speak, is I always wondered when I was going to see my role model, right? Especially in cybersecurity. When was I going to see someone who was up in the ranks who looked like me? And I either had a choice at some point where I was like, I can either wait around forever or I can be a voice to other people, especially since I've been in the industry for some time and I know what I'm doing at some point and I'm confident that I know what I'm doing. When can I turn around and give back and be that leader that I, a representation that I was looking for? So a lot of what I talked about in the book comes with things that people naturally come across in the field that I've heard about. It was like imposter syndrome was a really big one. Because again, even I just said in the beginning where I said I don't consider myself a leader despite the fact that I'm in leadership positions or that I lead, you know, different chapters or that I participate in things where I'm deemed a leader. But for myself, you know, that's not something I view. And I always have to double check and say, okay, is this because you're doubting your skills? Are you doubting your place and belonging? Or, you know, is it like a humble thing? So like for me, one of the biggest takeaways that I wanted to get in the book is about everyone just being the representation that they want to see because everyone's voice matters and like everyone can be a leader. It's not something that you're born with. I think there are skills that you can hone that everyone's important. And then two, understanding that imposter syndrome is real and it happens and it is something that you don't necessarily get over, but you can definitely work through, right? Because I don't want it to hinder anyone else's progress because they're constantly questioning themselves. There are going to be times when you're questioning yourself as you're in a room, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Because I always think that that's a challenge and challenges are something meant to be overcome. So as long as people can learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable is something I always like to say. So that way they can still be successful, you know, it will go far for you, basically.
I 100% agree with that. I love it. I so respect and honor the fact that you are being the person that you wanted to look up to. Like you are representing, you know, the woman that some other little girl that looks up and says, oh, wow, look at her. You are that person and you're being that person and you took that step out there. So that is fantastic. Absolutely love that. Couple comments here before we wrap. Love the colors, R&D. Everyone, tell us what you're going to be for Halloween.
Right. Or is this that no one's going to be anything?
Oh, nobody's being, everybody's being themselves this year. We want to know what you're going to be. Philip says, thanks for your service. Kids. What'd you say?
I said, or the kids. I want to know what the kids
are. Yeah. So my kids are Minnie Mouse, Spider-Man. My 9-year-old, he's like Spider-Man. I was like, dude, you want to be Spider-Man again? Spider-Man. Multiple times. He's been Spider-Man like 3-4 years in a row. And then my little wild one in the middle, he is Bowser from...
Oh my gosh, yes. And being Spider-Man, because I literally was Cinderella, I think, for 2 years. I was the Pink Power Ranger for at least 4 years. And then I was Belle until it was time to stop dressing up for Halloween.
So. Like enough. Wow. Oh man, Tyrone says, are there basic steps for dealing with imposter syndrome?
I think so. So, or I can at least tell you the way I dealt with imposter syndrome. Not that there's a end all be all cure for, or kind of like steps for everyone. So for me, of course, first recognizing that you are that you have imposter syndrome, right? And that's coming with whenever something happens, like if you get promotion, when you get praise, when you are stepping into a room that maybe you felt like you didn't belong, when you start to recognize that you're questioning yourself, despite the fact that you have experience and you have credentials or you have XYZ that's backing you up, like noticing like, why do I do this? And that's something I had to do. I'm like, whenever I got invited to do, so one of the biggest ones was like, I had helped create the Google Cloud Security Professional exam. And for me, being a part of that process was amazing, but it triggered my imposter syndrome so much, simply because I felt I was in a room with people who technically were considered my peers, but I was either the youngest or I had maybe the least amount of experience in terms of years, right? And to me, I'm like, what am I doing here? And I remember one of the sessions that we were in, and I went home and I went back to the hotel and I freaked out. And I'm like, I don't know if I can show up in the way that they need me to. And I was talking to my mom and my friends, and they're like, do you think they would invite you and fly you all the way over there if you didn't belong, or if they didn't think you had the knowledge and resources and credentials necessary in order to be a part of this process? So I had to tell myself, I'm like, wait a minute, you know, you're kind of right. You're kind of right. Oh.
Like, I kind of know what I'm doing here.
So yeah. For me, one of the biggest steps is to, one, understand, like, why is it that we cannot be our biggest supporter, or like be our biggest, like we are always our biggest critic, and like why we can't do the opposite. And like I heard somewhere, it escapes me right now, but that for every one negative comment, it takes around 5 to 10 positive ones just to combat that. So it's like you have to constantly pour into yourself in order for you to just be comfortable with yourself. And that is insane to me, but it's something that I do with a positive affirmation. So for me, I wake up and I tell myself at least 3 to 5 positive affirmations just to begin my day. So before I even pick up my phone, before I talk to anyone, before I consume whatever the world is about to give me, I make sure I start off with some positivity, and that positivity is to pour into myself. So that way, if some negativity does come, I'm already ahead of the game in terms of pouring myself into the bank. And then alternatively, I had to just be comfortable with my knowledge, right? So before, we were talking about blogging and really disseminating information that we're getting. Those are one of the ways that you can build your confidence to know what you're talking about, right? Because if you are confirming, like, hey, I'm learning something, I'm able to write and blog it, or I'm able to podcast that, I'm able to do XYZ with it and give it back to someone else, then hey, I'm reassuring myself or reaffirming myself that this knowledge is in my head and I can give to other people. And the more you do that, the more confident you are. So it's really about pouring into yourself. That's one of the biggest ways that I combat it. Making sure you have a good support system, that's a really good way to combat it. And two, always be careful about the energy that you're consuming, right? You don't want negativity. You don't, this industry is hard enough already. It's really about making sure that you're just taking positive steps to improve yourself. We always focus on improving our career, improving everything else outside of us, and like giving into other people. And it's like, I always need to remember, like, hey, Dominique, how is your cup today? Are you full? Are you empty? Are you near empty? Like, take care of yourself.
No, that's such a good point. You touched on, well, Reginald says, if you don't mind, I will be taking that. He says, and then Philip says, sure, that's all in my routine. Mm-hmm. I have a similar one. There is an author, his name is Brian Tracy, mm-hmm. and he talks about what you just said in terms of having negativity, or having that level of self-esteem and that confidence in different areas, right? Because I think a lot of us, like, we can be, when you put your reps in just as a whole, you're confident in certain things, right. And not as confident in other things. And like, to your point, you had to come back and be like, hey, you know, the imposter syndrome's kicking in. Like, why did they bring me here? And your family, the people who support you, are like, because you know what you're doing. You know, there's a reason why. There's a reason why people ask you that. And it's funny because I think when you do build that confidence, have those affirmations, say that stuff to yourself, pour into yourself, there's a level of quiet confidence. Like, you kind of know, you feel like, you know, I know that this is my space. I know. And you begin to build that. Mm-hmm. Something came across me. So people have been reaching out to me this month in particular, asking me to speak at different conferences and stuff, which is, I'm like, sure, great. And, you know, usually it's HR related, recruiting related. That's my area of expertise, all that stuff. And then a lady reached out and she asked me to speak on about being a thought leader in SaaS. And I was like, SaaS? I was like, I'm happy to be a voice, but I don't know. And it was funny because she said, oh, you're, you know, something, I don't know the term she used. But she said something like, oh no, you're a voice. You're the, you know, like it, all the other pieces fit yeah. in. So I was just like, well, yeah, sure, I'll do it. You know, but it's the, you know, it's having that confidence and not thinking like, you know, just being honest, like, hey, this is not really my niche per se, but they see you for a different reason and mm-hmm. want you there for a different reason. And kind of to your point, being a voice for other people who, where they may not have a voice, or may not be able to see, look up and say, oh, look at this woman, you know, she's crazy. She has a wig on Halloween and, you know, she has like these wacko kids that are always in the background and she can get on, she can be on boards and stuff and speak on panels too. Right. Okay. So Reginald says here, we get everything here, tech and food for the soul. Love it. Right. This podcast has been a little bit of everything. We get right. the tech stuff. We get the, you know, the food for the soul. That is so, so true.
I love that.
Okay, final question and we're going to wrap. Lincoln says, Dominique, what would you recommend blog? What blog platform would you recommend for newbies?
So I started off blogging on WordPress, which is pretty popular. Not that much learning curve in order to get started, until I eventually moved over just to having my own domain site that I built up. I actually just came across something called Substack. Hmm. And that's where I have my newsletter. So I do a monthly newsletter, or it's really a weekly newsletter, but I do a weekly news, cybersecurity newsletter, also called Security in Color newsletter, in which I just give out resources. So it's like, you get the news, you get different things, different events that are happening in tech. I try to do a lot of job postings, so I know a lot of people are looking for positions. It just is jam-packed with a bunch of cybersecurity resources. And for me, Substack is really easy right now because I'm able to kind of just write posts. It has an archive for everything. And you don't need to do anything. You don't need to stand up your own website. You don't need to build things out. It's really simple, really easy for people to look at your stuff. And I always recommend, when you're starting off, have something as simple as possible, because once it starts getting difficult, you're not going to want to do so. So Substack right now is something I would recommend to people. It's really easy to get started. You kind of just sign up for it and you go ahead and write a post and you put it out there. And then people can decide to subscribe to you if they want to get it maybe every time you post, or if they just want to come back to your particular Substack, they can look at it. So I would personally right now recommend that. I think that would be easier for a new person to get into. And then later on, when you're like, hey, I want to take this to a next level, I want to start building other features, I want to maybe offer different types of content, XYZ, then you can move on to the Wix, the Squarespaces, the WordPresses, then you can go that. But if you just want something super, you just want to write, I suggest it with Substack.
Okay, cool. That's a new one. I had not heard about that one either.
It is new. Yeah, it's still new. It's really good though. I like it.
Okay, cool. Very cool. All right, folks. It is at the almost 45 minute mark. So I'm going to wrap, let everybody eat candy and have fun for the rest of Halloween. It has been my absolute pleasure doing this for the month of October. I don't know. I'm like, I feel bittersweet right now. I had so much fun. I'm so exhausted, but it was so much fun. I'm like, I got to keep it going, but I can't. It's not possible. If you all want to hear about different people, different topics, all that good stuff, please, please, please let me know. You all have my inbox. You know where to find me on LinkedIn in particular. For the YouTube people, please reach out to me on LinkedIn. Like, I don't have anything really going on YouTube. Reach out on LinkedIn. And I think, like I said, it'll be a couple. I'm going to try to do 5 days a week and bring on different people and kind of like dive down into the different slivers of security so that people, we can demystify more and more the actual different domains, different career paths, all that stuff, like really kind of get niche into each one. So any ideas, please let me know. It has been an absolute pleasure. I have had so much fun. I've learned so much from everyone. It's been amazing. Reginald's crying. Don't cry. Phyllis says, thank you all. And we will see you on another edition of Breaking Into Cybersecurity, but it's going to be Monday because I am taking a break.
You deserve it.
Bye, everybody. Have a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.